This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Tree Lin. Tonight, we're looking at our COVID-19 testing strategy with the announcement that there will be new home self-test kits available. So first, we'll look at why testing strategy matters and how it helps in the fight against COVID-19. And then we'll look at what states, specifically Selangor, have been doing on this front. And finally, how do these home self-test kits enter the picture and how will they be used? So we want to hear from you. Do you think we're testing enough nationwide? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and as promised, it's going to be all about COVID-19 testing this hour because, for starters, there have long been concerns about whether we're testing enough nationwide, especially with our cases being what they are recently. For example, our testing dropped in June with a daily average of 80,165 tests being conducted in the middle of June, compared with a daily average of over 100,000 tests between May 23rd to 29th, for example. However, it has picked up again in recent days. The highest number of tests were actually carried out on July 16th. That was 140,008 tests. So we are seeing a variance, I think, in terms of how much testing is being done. And again, this is something that even as far back as when the pandemic first really hit our shores, and for example, the health DG was giving daily press briefings, this was something that came up over and over again and that was asked about over and over again. And I think it's in stark contrast, particularly because of the mass testing that we're seeing happening in states such as Selangor and Penang. So if we look at Selangor, they went on a free mass COVID-19 screening initiative running from May 8th to June 10th, in which a total of almost 100,000 people, 97,565 people, underwent swab tests throughout Selangor, and the screening was conducted at the 56 state assembly constituencies. And out of all the people tested, 3,342 tested positive, which is 3.43%. And in terms, why that number matters is because, firstly, that is an important measure in terms of how we look at the spread of the pandemic within a community, but also because this mass screening initiative was carried out in line with the World Health Organization's Find, Test, Trace, Isolate and Support system. And I think in terms of what people have been asking for a cohesive or for mass testing strategies, it's interesting to see how states themselves have carried it out, because Penang also did something similar, kicking off on July 5th, with the chief minister saying that they hope to be able to complete screening for 40,000 people within 40 days to reduce the number of cases in the community. The program is fully financed by the Penang government, and like Selangor, they are using the RTK antigen method, and people can essentially register on websites or on Selangka and then come forward on the day of their appointment. And so first up, we are going to compare, I think, these strategies and look at what they mean, because if we look at the daily numbers every day, we will also see that Selangor consistently tops that list, right? And that's partly because of the testing. And I'm curious also to know in some ways how that has assisted the state in terms of attacking the pandemic, strategizing the pandemic. But we also wanted to talk about it because COVID-19 self-test kits have received conditional approval for import and distribution here. This is according to the Health Ministry. And this is something that people have also been waiting for, because now, you know, you won't actually have to leave your home and go somewhere in order to get tested. It can instead be something that you do at home. The two kits that have been approved are basically the Selexium COVID-19 rapid antigen test and the GMate COVID-19 AG saliva for home use. They will both be sold at registered community pharmacies or health facilities. And at the moment, these are the only two approved, but the list will be updated from time to time. So the idea here, I think, is it should facilitate the process of detecting and controlling infections. It should also lessen the burden on healthcare workers in the country. But the Medical Device Authority has emphasized that these self-test kits don't replace the real-time diagnostic function of RT-PCR tests. Again, they are antigen tests. And so the idea here is that they will be able to screen patients quickly. But the Malaysian Pharmacist Society President Amrahi Buang also said that they are a screening method. So if you get a positive result, then you have to follow up with an RT-PCR test. So that's where we're at. And where these home test kits will enter the picture, whether how or whether they're going to be included in our nationwide data and what that would mean also remains to be seen. So it's at this point that we just wanted to find out more about our testing strategy. And we want to know what you think. Knowing what we know about how much we're testing nationwide and comparing that against, for example, what certain states are doing, do you think we're testing enough nationwide? Do you think we need to shift our strategy? You can let us know. That number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we are going to be joined by Dr. Musa Mohamed Nordin, consultant pediatrician, to weigh in on the importance that testing actually plays, what role it plays in this battle. So that's coming up. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:15 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. Tonight, our focus is on our COVID-19 testing strategy, comparing what we're doing nationwide to what states are doing, for example, with their mass testing initiatives, and also trying to understand how home self-test kits enter the picture. So we are shortly going to be looking at why testing matters and how it actually helps in terms of fighting against the pandemic. But we want to know your thoughts. Do you think we're testing enough nationwide? That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Dr. Musa Mohamed Nordin, consultant pediatrician. Dr. Musa, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, hi, Lynn, and good evening to all your listeners.
So, first up, we have been hearing time and time again that testing is such an important part of battling the pandemic. Could you walk us through why this is the case?
Yes. I think more correctly, it is FTTIS, find, test, trace, isolate, support, is the bedrock of our battle against the pandemic. It is the back to basics of pandemic management. And I cannot overemphasize this fundamental because many of us are putting all of our eggs into the vaccine basket. And this includes the PM, the National Security Council, and the Ministry of Health. Yes, ramping up the vaccine program is critical. But remember, full protection is only conferred after 2 weeks of the second dose. And for an individual, that is at least 5 weeks. And for the nation, we're talking about herd immunity in the fourth quarter. So meanwhile, it is extremely important that we protect the community with correct testing. And by that, we mean find, whereby we actually identify the hot spots. And that is where we target our testing. And usually these are in the factories, in the construction sites, the nursing homes, the detention centers, and the prisons where you get all your clusters. And we need to do mass testing, so that we identify the infected individual. We stop that individual or that many individuals from becoming outbreaks, from becoming a cluster. Because we need to realize that one in three of those who have coronavirus are asymptomatic. And these are the ones, right? We need to identify, we need to diagnose, we must detect them so that we can isolate them, right? And then those who were in close contact with him, we need to do contact tracing. And these are the ones whom we have to quarantine And then we provide the S, the support, especially if they are in the D4P. Yes, Lynn?
So why do the number of tests matter? And for that matter, and for that point also, what is the status of our testing capacity at the moment? Do you think it's enough?
The benchmark has been set by the World Health Organization, WHO. They have stipulated a positive rate of less than 5%. If a nation positive rate is more than 5%, the pandemic is out of control. Unfortunately, the Ministry of Health has been using the old WHO benchmark of 10%. And we have repeatedly informed the Kementerian Kesehatan that it is outdated since the World Health Organization updated it in May 2020. As a useful rule of thumb, the conservative estimate of daily tests is 1% of the unvaccinated population. These are the vulnerable groups that is exposed to the coronavirus because they are not vaccinated. We have about 4.4 million in Malaysia who are presently vaccinated with two doses, 13.5% of the population. So the rest are vulnerable. And 1% of that is about 270,000 tests per day. That's a conservative estimate. Yeah. But what are we doing? We are hardly doing half. I checked yesterday's testing numbers. 123,000 with a positive rate of 8.7. So we are half of the expected testing numbers. And our positive rate is well above the 5%. Right. Unfortunately, our positive rate since May 2021 has been in excess of 5%. Yeah. I can't understand why we can vaccinate now between 350 to 400,000 and yet we're only doing 120,000 tests a day. Yes, Lynn.
Right. And in line with that, I did also want to touch on something that we've been hearing recently from listeners, which is, I think, this push and pull between the focus on testing compared to vaccination, for instance, which you just brought up. And the idea here is that mass testing results in higher numbers and therefore keeps us in, say, phase one or phase two for longer. How would you address that sort of opinion or mindset?
Well, it should not be a push and pull. These are two integral strategies towards exiting us from the pandemic. Now, this phase one and two is based on absolute numbers of, I think it was 4,000 and 2,000. To me, this is not based on good science, I'm afraid. Yeah, you need to give the incidence of COVID, which we can accept as being a situation, a Malaysia that is well mitigated, an incident which is tolerable, which we can coexist with the virus without any major outbreaks or sporadic transmission. What is the situation in Malaysia now? Malaysia itself is about 400 per 100,000 population. This is high, right? This is a moderate infection country. We need to be targeting something like between 100 to 150. The lower, the better. And Perlis, Kelantan, Terengganu, Sabah, Sarawak, Perak meets this. Unfortunately, Labuan, Kuala Lumpur, Negeri Sembilan, Putrajaya and Selangor are in excess of the national average, which as it is, it's high. Labuan is 800 per 100,000. KL is 1,000 per 100,000. Negeri Sembilan is now the hot spot, 1,150 per 100,000. So I am concerned that we are under testing. When we are testing below par, we are under detecting the true cases in the state and the nation as a whole. Yes, Lynn.
So why is it that we're under testing, in your opinion? Is it an issue of funding or capacity or willpower?
Very interesting question. Firstly, we're using the wrong test. There is this obsession with the PCR, which is more expensive, takes a longer time, and it should actually be used as a diagnostic tool in a hospital testing. For a national surveillance program, we should be using the rapid test kit antigen. You get your results at the point of care, right? When we did it in Selangor, within an hour, we are able to get the result. So we're able to tell the patient, sir, you are positive, you must isolate yourself. And using the Selangor, we can contact trace all those who were very close to him, right? So we can quarantine them, or we can tell them to get yourself tested. Yeah. Number two, it's not affordable. Remember when we first started in the first quarter of last year, a PCR can cost anything between 600 to 1,000 ringgit. An RTK antigen test costs 250 ringgit. This is not affordable. So I had since March last year said that we need to cap the prices. Yeah. In fact, it is worthwhile noting that the WHO was willing to sell it to us for 20 ringgit, right? So if you keep the price down, minimal, right, then of course, they can come to the private hospitals or laboratories and pay for it. So you decongest your Kementerian Kesihatan facilities, yeah? I'm afraid someone is criminally profiteering from this exorbitant pricing. Only the past, I think, 1 month that it was brought down to 250 for PCR and 70 for the RTK antigen. And then the other reason, I think, is the technocrats in KKM are not on ground zero to appreciate the realities. Yeah, many are still working from home. Yeah, and the next reason is the overburdened healthcare workers at the Pusat Kesihatan, at the hospitals, district hospitals, yeah? Are they expected to do testing, tracing, vaccinating, and also do the CAC, the COVID assessment centers? They are burnt out. Their morale are low. And to make things worse, they are abused. They said, okay, we'll renew your contract till December 2022, and after that, you're out of a job. So I think these are some of the factors that is contributing to this low testing.
Now, with that said, the government has also just approved home test kits. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, this is long overdue, yeah? Because this saliva testing, I think two kits have been approved by the IMR. The saliva-based testing has shown accuracy in detecting positive coronavirus 83% of the time, you know. And the authors who published the study also reported that saliva-based testing has shown 99% accuracy at identifying negative cases. So this is good, all right? And problem, again, is pricing. I saw one price was 40 ringgit. I know my colleague is doing the testing in Klang Valley for all the factories at 10 ringgit. So the commercial price is four times to what my friend has been able to obtain for his factories, yeah? And then there's also another, and by the way, this saliva testing is far less invasive. You don't involve doctors, you don't involve healthcare workers, you can do it yourself. It's a DIY and it's this comforting process, and your turnaround time is less than half an hour. And the other one that Singapore has initiated is the breath testing kits for COVID-19 that deliver results in less than 2 minutes. I think this is excellent. It is suited for large events and, of course, for border controls.
So yes, would you encourage then individuals to get tested in general, regardless of whether they're a close contact or experiencing symptoms?
I think there must be a rationale. If you have been in close contact or you have symptoms that is suggestive of coronavirus infection, i.e. a fever that's not responding to paracetamol, you have a sore throat, you've lost your sense of smell, you must get yourself tested.
And in closing then, we have just about a minute left with you. What message would you like to leave us with on the subject of testing and ultimately its importance in all of this and how it's going to factor in?
I honestly hope the the Ministry of Health ramps up testing and give us a true, authentic figure of cases in Malaysia. It may be three or fourfold of the 10,000 that we are actually witnessing today. And I believe that testing is going to become a regular part of our routine. Yeah. Before you go to watch a football match, you need to test yourself. Yeah, and make sure you are negative before you drop in. Or the guys who are responsible for the football matches may have one of these breath analyzer, which within 2 minutes tells whether you're positive or not. If you're positive, you go home and isolate yourself. So I think I think we need to begin to understand and to begin to practice this new norm. And it means self-responsibility. If you are unwell, you get yourself tested. You're positive, you quarantine yourself. Yeah. If you're unwell, you're positive, you don't go to a public space. Yeah. And of course, at the end of the day, we take care of ourselves, and also we take care of our loved ones around us and of our public at large. I think this is something that we must inspire in Malaysians with this new norm. Yes, Liz.
Dr. Musa, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
That was consultant pediatrician Dr. Musa Mohamed Nordin talking to us about testing and why it matters. After this, we're going to be looking at how Selangor did it. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bia Fikiran Melayang, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:39 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. Our focus today is on COVID-19 testing and our strategy here in Malaysia, because we have been consistently hearing that we are under testing, and we also wanted to contrast that against the mass testing exercises and initiatives that have been happening in states like Selangor and Penang, for instance. Also, self-test kits that can be done at home have now are going to be entering the market soon. So we thought it was a good time to check in. Now, with all that said, we wanted to know, do you think we're testing enough nationwide? That number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at PFM Radio. We do have this message from Margaret, who says, for many months now, the NHS in the UK has been distributing lateral flow tests, which is a home swab test kit. Every school gives them to children and all staff who are expected to test at home. Every sports centre, swimming baths, supermarkets, etc. We should have this kind of availability and distribution too. Margaret, you bring up such a good point. I mean, firstly, because we have heard of this, right? And it is so crucial, particularly if your job does require you to test frequently, and those costs could really rack up if you're having to pay for it, eh? But also the fact that it's being distributed by the NHS is interesting, because at the moment we're talking about those home test kits being made available, and that would still cost you, right, at pharmacies. And for the time being, if you live in states that are running mass test initiatives, then you can get them done for free. But it still requires you to actually go out, get to a center and do that, which is very different from having a test kit being available to you in your own home. So that's a really good point. But keep those thoughts coming. Do you think we're testing enough nationwide? Would you like to see a change in our strategy? That number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, of course, when it comes to this issue of mass testing, the state that comes to mind, I think, for many of us is Selangor. So to understand a little bit more about what Selangor State did specifically, we're crossing over to Datuk Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, Chair of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19. Dr. Zul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again, Lynn.
So perhaps we could start with this. How do state governments generally approach testing strategy? Do you think different states approach it differently?
Well, firstly, Lynn, I must say that the thing to remember is that health is really under the purview of the federal government. Yeah. But having said that, states made attempt to complement and supplement this by engaging various other stakeholders, you know, to increase testing capacity according to their, you know, capability of budget and what they aim for, right? So Selangor, for example, yeah, we are in from the beginning, from ever, you know, SDFC is formed. So we are very clear about why we need to do it, you know, for the fact that Selangor, as you very well know, in that situation. So testing strategy for us will certainly depend on the context, you know, whether it's, you know, the stage of the pandemic, yeah, and that is also to do with why, what is the purpose of doing it, you know. So ours is more of the public health management, the population management, rather than the clinical management of patient by way of which test to do. So ours is certainly on the RTK-EEG, yeah. So that would be, we need the speed, we need the volume. And mind you, testing is the front end of it. But back end of it is certainly a federal government by way of other things. Even the isolating, the contact tracing, management, isolation is certainly still under federal. So ours is really focused on testing. So that's the reason why we are, you know, we want to focus on the strategic testing, why we need to do the fast and the volume so that we get to act and, you know, really identify places of ignition, Aline.
And so when states run their own testing campaigns, who pays for it?
Certainly, this is a good thing. It's certainly the state, yeah. It's certainly the state, and this is the real benefit for the people, because the state is funding it, and we have put quite a good funding for this, because we really want to get down to, you know, identifying not only, you know, just reacting to clusters, but as well to even be able to predict, you know, once before when we had the Acura, the data, granular data that we had from, you know, from some of the PKDs, we were able to do prediction and we went in to do targeted kind of testing, Aline.
So you, I think, touched on it a little bit there. You also mentioned that it was a public health move, really, that caused Selangor to take this route. Can you tell us how we arrived at this particular approach? What kind of thinking went into it?
Right. Well, in terms of how we arrived to this, we have always said that we are advocate utilizing data and science. Yeah. So when we do we roll out to the 56 constituencies, it was during this unprecedented time, you know, in the pandemic, and the DG was saying about, you know, the 80%, you know, were essentially sporadic, you know, at that time, right? It meant that they did not know where the cases are coming from. So during those times, you know, we initiate this mass testing, you know, throughout our state, so as to enable us, you know, to get to you know, so to say, the whole, to canvas the holes of Selangor, to map out, you know, those areas of hotspot areas. So from that time, we were earlier on doing targeted testing, then we go for the mass, and then we are now going back to the targeted testing, you know, that which is the phase three, you know, together hand in glove with the district officers and others, you know, so as to isolate them fast.
And what kinds of coordination had to happen between the state and federal levels to make this happen?
Well, I must say that JKNS is essentially a federal agency. You must remember that, you know, the Jabatan Kesihatan Negeri. So coordination happens at our SDFO, our operational arm, with all our, you know, with the DOs, you know, with the agencies, the local authorities. So this is where it's just like the CITF. They have both the federal and the state, you know, hand in glove working. So however, there's been instances where, you know, it's been state has to demand certain things so that we can, you know, we can help, we be helped, you know. As for example, we went in to help them in the CAC of Stadium Melawati, that is slightly different ballgame on the COVID assessment centers. But essentially, we have got good working, you know, relationship with the state government, the state Jabatan Kesihatan Health Agencies, state health department, Lin.
And what about the logistics of mass testing at the state level? Could you tell us more about this? Do you think it's feasible actually for this to happen in all states?
Yeah, I must say that there's been, you know, states decide over what they want to do. But I must say that this is an extremely intricate process. Yeah, Selangor State another advantage, because besides having a think tank or a steering committee, the STFC, we also establish, you know, our STFO, which is the implementation arm, the operational arm on the ground, on ground zero, implementing this. Yeah, so very early on in the pandemic, we knew that there will be times when we had to step in as to ensure people benefited most during the most difficult time. Of course, you need to have the team, you know, the working team. These are very excellent team, you know, precision kind of preparation, good public relations, negotiation skills, and also foremost is patience and perseverance. So a well-mapped out planning strategy will also enable us to effectively carry out our program, Aline. So, you know, there's been good, I must say there have been glitches around, but sometimes, but overall, we have done well by way of the coordination and the logistic aspect.
Dr. Zul, ultimately, what have been the main benefits of going with this approach for Selangor, and would you say that there have been any drawbacks?
All right. On drawback, and I must say that the main beneficiary of this is actually the main beneficiary are the people, the rakyat. Because as you very well know, sometimes they get to be asked by their employers to get testing done, you know, if they're not well, whatever. So main benefit first is people. Tumor free, you know, FOC. You know, when we did this, you know, we do our RTKAG, you know, approach. Then, you know, we get to test, you know, as wide as cross section of people as possible. So, the other things, of course, the main benefit is for us to be able to detect and find thousands of them positive cases. Remember, in our 1,000 cases that we tested, there were about 3,400 over positive cases, and essentially they were all like asymptomatic. So you understand how this will be a reservoir for infection, for clusters, and you know, and spillovers to others. Yeah, especially if they come from the workplaces setting. So when we were able to identify them. Then we were able to as well isolate them early and provide the support system in as much as we could, you know, in terms of the home monitoring things that you may have heard about what we're doing now, and also some other welfare packages. So this has been the benefit of, you know, acting early, you know, identifying and coordinating on this. And I think the most important thing as well is the financial, you know, relief of the rakyat. But there have been, of course, drawbacks, but they were just minor and negligible, perhaps. You know, overall, we were able to get good coordination and benefit from this program, testing, mass testing, and now targeted testing lane.
On the line with us today is Datuk Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, Chair of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19. We've been talking about how state governments have approached their COVID-19 testing strategy. After this, we will continue speaking with Dr. Zul about COVID-19 self-test kits, which are entering the market, how effective they are, and where they fit in the bigger picture. We would like to know your thoughts. Do you think we're testing enough nationwide? Do you have questions perhaps about the self-test kits that you want to share now? That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Business, finance and music, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:51 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. Our focus today has been on COVID-19 testing and the nationwide strategy. We've touched on why it's important. We've looked at how states have approached it differently. And now we're closing off to talk about essentially the home self-test kits, which are soon going to enter the market and where they fit in. Joining us now, or rather rejoining us for this part of the conversation, is Datuk Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, Chair of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19. Keep sending those thoughts through. Do you think that we're testing enough? Do you have questions you want to ask? That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Zul, thank you so much for sticking around.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on the self-testing kits? I mean, what do we know, for example, about their efficacy and their accuracy?
Right. Yeah, this is most important. Of course, that would be the role of the the bodies like MDAs, you know, the IMR, they have to endorse these. They will be doing stringent testing on the specificity and the sensitivity of this testing, and they must, you know, they must fulfill the kind of threshold, you know, requirements, which are prerequisites to you know, endorsing whichever, you know, whichever kits there are. So most importantly, Lynn, we know that other jurisdictions like the UK and others, they've already gone into you know, biweekly testing on a home testing kit. Yeah, I think this is the way to go forward. You know, because you know very well, because we understand that there are now other variants that are around. So the Delta variant, particularly. So I think it is most important that we also get to, you know, put in place this. I mean, the DG has explained that, you know, you can get it from the pharmacies. But beyond just getting, beyond just informing about where do they get it from, you know, pharmacies and whatnot, I must say that it's just got to be, more has got to be said about, you know, end-to-end kind of thing. So if testing is one thing, but then what do you do when you are positive, you know, then you got to isolate yourself and whatnot. So those information must be enlightened further as well. Yeah, but again, I said testing, home test kit must be painless. It must be accessible. It must be as far as possible, cheap, you know, readily accessible. Yeah, so this is, you know, that's where I think we in the state government, we also would like to, you know, meet the intermediary to serve, you know, between us and the factories. We also would like to facilitate all this, Lynn. So yeah, this is way forward. Especially, we are coming to the mitigation stage right now. Yeah.
Yes. And in your view, then, what additional SOPs would we need to facilitate, as you say, the better use or the most efficient use of these self-testing kits?
Yeah, of course. There must be clear guidelines, Lynn. Yeah, there must be clear guidelines, and as far as possible, those kits must be endorsed, of course, by the MDA, by the IMR. Yeah, so these have got to be fulfilled, and that you know, whatever kit, it's got to be fulfilling the threshold, you know, the requirement of specificity and sensitivity, whatever that I've said earlier. So yes, and then of course. The guideline on one, once you have got it, once you have done your, say, the saliva test kit, whatever, so that you must know that if you are positive, then you got to know the given clear guideline of to not to go out, not to go to work or whatever, you know, social events. You got to isolate yourself, and those you know, those numbers of days that must be observed. So you all have got to be clear SOPs that must be observed. Yeah. So this is where I think the MOH guidelines, clarity on messaging, you know, and it's got to be ubiquitous. It's got to be everywhere telling people not only where to get it, but, you know, once you've done it, then observe, you know, the other things that is required to be observed as the standard operation practices, lah. Yeah, the SOPs. So these are the things that you've got to observe to make it, you know, all the more effective, Alain.
And once this does become part of our everyday life, so to speak, you know, once it becomes widely available, how often should someone be testing themselves for COVID-19? And I guess, does it depend on what they do day to day?
Yeah, I don't think there's a real, you know, rule or science on that. But I think some jurisdictions like the UK are making it like bi-weekly. Yeah. Depending on, I think it's more important to, you know yourself, you know, if you have, you know, cough, and you know, fever or temperature, you know, you've got to listen to your body, and that bi-weekly, I think it would be what has been suggested by NHS in the UK, but I think we will wait for our MOH, you know, to provide this, but I think weekly would be also possible, would be also practical. But important thing, as I said, is the SOPs, the standard operation procedures that you got to observe, you know, and to make it have the best outcome and impact.
Dr. Zul, in closing, do you have any final thoughts to share on how we're testing for COVID-19 at the nationwide level?
Well, it is not of my opinion, but you can see epidemiologists, public health physicians, and many, you know, from the medical fraternity, it's always been asking that we have not been testing enough. But I think in all fairness, we have been doing quite well lately. But you must remember that, you know, especially on that positivity rate, you know, of above, below, to press it to get it below 5%. So whenever that you get, you know, anything above 5 to 10, and now sometimes even more than 10, that goes to show that we have not done enough, Lin, yeah? So in all fairness, I think MOH must take cues from this, that, you know, we must test even more. And now that vaccine is around and vaccination is going well, you know, zooming, you know, roaring now at 500 over 1,000 a day. But we must remember that you cannot do away with testing. So we must test even more in the sense that, you know, because of the new Delta variant and other VOCs, right? In the UK, for example, there is a large vaccinated population. Testing is also increased, you know. So the vaccine is not the magic silver bullet that we wanted to, in the sense that, you know, of course it is the solution, it is the exit strategy, but there again you cannot do away with the approach of the FTTRS. So the thing to do, the strategy to do is to have targeted testing and regular testing, as you said, the home testing, but at the same time, you know, the FTTRS must come with vaccination, must come with prevention, must come with surveillance. So the bedrock of our public health strategy needs to be implemented now more than ever so that we really can sustain, you know, and get out of this pandemic soonest. So, yeah, with this, I think, and you have the FTTRS plus V, that will be truly the magic bullet to overcome this pandemic, Lin.
Dr. Zul, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you again.
That was Datuk Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, Chair of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19, talking to us about the home self-test kits and how they'll enter the picture when it comes to our testing strategy, which has been the focus of our inside story. Let us know what you think about our testing nationwide. Are we doing enough? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.